Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
It's a floating head with a gun. It's one of two things.
Yeah.
It's Steve Austin or Rayman.
This means tonic trouble for you.
Come on to the rock show. Come on to the people show. Come on to the premiere show. SmackDown.
It's the 7th of September in the year of our Lord 2000. Madonna music, which is either the song that goes, do what you like, boogie boogie, or the song that goes, ride in the punani, depending on what you remember about the music video.
That was the video with Ali G in it.
That's right, and for a while, that was all people knew about him in America. It's like Madonna's friend, Ali G.
He complimented her on her Babylons.
That's right.
What a time that was.
That's right, and he became that guy who did that crap song with Shaggy. So, anyway, that is number one in the UK charts. Number one film in the box office, Snatch.
Nice.
Nice.
Good film, that.
Very much like it. The last film Guy Ritchie did before that person ruined him. Who was it? Oh, Madonna.
Ali G.
Yes.
It all comes back to Madonna.
That's right. So
life is a mystery.
Sing When You're Winning is still number one in the album charts, and that's the one, that's a Rod Williams album with Rock DJ, Supreme, Let Love Be Your Energy, and Better. So yeah, all right, cool, well done, mate. That is your WrestleMania X7.
Oh, Let Love Be Your Energy as the WrestleMania X7 soundtrack would have been divine. Sod my way. If you're willing to change the world, let love. That, as Rock and Austin are fighting. Amazing.
I don't want to beat you, Rock. Rock DJ.
DJ, because his initials are Dave Johnson. Yeah. Dwayne Johnson.
Because this
not
isn't
Dave
about
Johnson.
Deborah.
Bam, she's not a factor.
Factor.
DJ.
DJ.
Let's do a sit-down interview with Jim. And
Spider-Man.
I'll turn heel in Texas.
Spider-Man for the PS1/Dreamcast/N64 comes out. This is the one that used the Tony Hawk's Pro Skater engine. That's the really good Spider-Man game, as people remember it. But there's been a bunch since, but this was the first time in a while that people went, wow, this Spider-Man game's pretty cool. And
they would only get better as well.
Exactly. The BBC has given its permission for the Teletubbies to be used in promotional material for a controversial wind farm in Wales in order to help win over critics. I thought that was worth mentioning because it's the only noteworthy thing in the news. But this mix of pop culture at this time, for myself, paints a very clear picture of where I was during this time in sunny Northampton. It is crazy that I remember all those things and going, wow, that was on the radio, that was on TV, those are the adverts, that was the game. And it's crazy. So I like doing these bits, if nothing else, just remind me what I was doing, who I was listening to, and what films I was allowed to see back then.
Ah.
But that was all the things happening in the crazy world of reality. What was happening in the crazy world, the crazy normal world, I guess, of the WWF? I don't know. but I do know a man who does. His name is Tom Campbell, and he has a podcast called the Cultaholic Classic Smackdown Review, which you listen to right now. Let's ask him how he's doing. How are you doing, Tom?
It's your podcast as well.
I know, but I like that intro.
We share it. It's nice. I like it. Thank you. I'm fine. I was starting college in this particular week in the year of our Lord 2000. Ooh. I was heading into college to do... I had to resit my maths exam because I didn't get a C or above. So I was given this college agreement to come and do media studies. And I did AS Law. I did law at college. I did a module in law randomly. I just was intrigued.
Mm.
I was there for the media studies. Oh, excuse me. I was there for the media studies. And I made the agreement that I would resit my maths exam in my first month and get it up to a C. And then I did. And I got a D again. So I had to do another 6 months of GCSE maths before I finally got a C grade. I tell you what, the day I got that C grade, that was Rock winning the title at Backlash levels of joy. The day I finally got a C in maths. What's happened since is, I guess due to age, I don't know why, but my brain has become much better at maths than when I was 16 years old.
Oh, that's good.
Which is good. And also, we live in an era now where you don't necessarily need all the things that you're taught in maths to get on all right in life. They tell you, well, you need to do long division. What if you get a job in a shop? Well, I'll just work it out on my phone.
Yeah.
You know, but that was where I just, as you were talking about, oh, this is where I was in the year of our Lord. I was thinking, oh yeah, this was the year I was starting college. I was, it was a good time. But back in 2021, 37-year-old Tom this week is overtired and overstimulated after a lot of wrestling. But this is going out on the Saturday. So by this point, I've caught up on a lot of much needed sleep. But I tell you what, I am... I was explaining it to Alex and how I think because Alex has just spent the last week watching me work night shifts and long hours and stuff, and she was like, you don't normally do this much, is this the future from now on? I said, no, you don't understand, like normally WWE, they'll do a takeover, an NXT takeover on a Saturday night and WrestleMania on a Sunday night. It's a weekend, happy days. No, not in 2021, you sucker. Takeover night one, takeover night two. Raw right. And SmackDown either side. WrestleMania night one, WrestleMania night two. And I was like, it's done now. I won't be doing any more silly night shifts until probably SummerSlam, where we'll do all this nonsense again.
Yeah, but that's forever.
That'll never come round. It's fine. That'll never come round. So overtired this week, and it was the week that the pubs reopened in the UK for outdoor drinking, and I've had a few people message me saying, hey, you coming to the pub? I'm like, do you know what, I just want to sleep. All I want to do is sleep. I have no interest in going to the pub just yet. And I've been desperate for a beer garden pint for months, but I think because WrestleMania week has happened, and you know what, I'll stop talking about that there, because I know that pretty much every podcast that wrestling fans listen to is starting with the presenters talking about how tired they are. So I won't. I'll be the less obscure company. And I'll say, Matthew, I'm all right. We've had a lovely time. What did you make of WrestleMania?
I was pleasantly surprised. Mm. Night one especially.
Oh, they yeah. They kept
all the crap for the tag team turmoil match. Everything else... Even crap like Shane versus Braun was decent. It was very decent. Braun looked strong, destroyed everybody. Shane lost. Fine. Didn't care about any of the paint or the dumb stuff they did to begin with it. But they did it. It ended. And that's it. Fantastic. No complaints whatsoever. When it's good, it's good. And night two, a bit less so. But still, overall, I like the idea of there being... WrestleMania in two bits. Originally did not like the idea, but with there being different divisions that WWE should care about, and by which I mean the women's divisions, not the women's tag, don't be absurd, what the hell is wrong with you? As I said on a thing, they should just, Shayna Baszler should be drafted to the women's division, and all of the women's tag division should be drafted to NXT UK. So, apart from that, no, pleasantly surprised, a lot of wrestling to watch, but I wasn't sick of any of it. By the end, I wasn't like, oh, God, will this end? I was like, oh, we're near the main event already, are we?
You all actually right, left cool. us wanting a bit more.
Yeah. Which I wanted Hogan to get booed even more. Fantastic. And then Monday Night Raw has come back on, and I'm like, oh, back to the crap. Back to the crap. That's fine. Hey, that's not a problem. What are we doing, Tom? We're talking about modern wrestling.
Oh, that's a good point, actually. Oh, yeah, we
disgusting.
Are in the wrong
quick,
point.
Let's have a quick shower. Let's tell people 2 seconds. You knew that Price is Right Jeopardy music. And we'll
no,
come
no,
back,
no, as, no. As we tend to do now in wrestling, anytime there is a heavy shower, we all have to riff promos for 40 minutes. That's the thing we do now.
No, Tom. Some of us just steal people's images that they make on Twitter and claim it as their own.
Hey, you know you made a good meme when somebody sends you a DM going, I saw this and I thought it'd make you smile. It's your sort of humour. It's like, yeah, I made it. That's why it's my humour, you lovely friend. Thank you. That was the thing that happened. True story.
Yeah.
Bless. Anyway, let's talk about wrestling from the year of our Lord 2000 instead.
Yay.
We're not here to talk about the modern stuff. We go back 20 years in our lugs-powered DeLorean, it says on the podcast description.
Yay. So 2 years ago, the stars are the same as they are today.
The stars will come out tomorrow. Matthew will talk us through the rigors of this week's episode of SmackDown in just a short amount of time. But let me paint a picture of the wrestling landscape for you, particularly in Western civilization this year. I tell you what, both WCW and WWF are vying for a major match to go down on one of their pay-per-views. That being the match between Susan Hawke and Kelly Wigglesworth from season one of Survivor. I know. Let me explain. I had to jump to Reddit for this, Matthew, because I'm not an avid watcher of Survivor, unless you are.
No, Tom. I don't want to step on any toes.
So, season one of Survivor. There was a few notable relationships in that season, the most dramatic of which was Sue Hawke and Kelly Wigglesworth. So early in the season, Stacey, Kelly and Sue, they got together to vote out Rudy. Sue was kind of in on this alliance, but all the while she was having secret conversations with Rich to get rid of Stacey. The first real case of backstabbing in Survivor. She was very much the Nasty Nick of American reality television. The two women, Kelly and Sue, blew up at each other in a disagreement over voting strategy. Eventually, they agreed to get along, but all the while, they were both plotting each other's demise throughout the series. It got down to the finals. Kelly gets the finals. Sue gives her this big old speech, which was just all about how much she hated Kelly. Sue was very bitter and angry at this point. It was, again, the first time on Survivor somebody was openly insulting another player to this level. Sue was berating Kelly for stabbing her in the back and pleading with the jury to let Rich win and not her. Sue then tried to make herself the victim in all of this. Nobody paid attention to her. It was a real bitter reality show bust up. And again, unlike anything else since then, this is kind of par for the course with reality TV. You have these big blow-ups for ratings, but this was very unheard of at this point. And the rivalry between Susan Hawke and Kelly Wigglesworth from Survivor was so hot in the mainstream that both the WWF and WCW had been in conversations with respective agents to try and book the match on one of their shows. That was the thing. That was a thing. And neither of us have watched Survivor, so neither of us have got a real opinion on it. But it's nice to give it a little bit of love in the year of our Lord 2000. Here's something you will have an opinion on, Matthew. The Natural Born Thrillers in WCW.
Yay!
So, some facts about this. They're currently doing an angle with Paul Orndorff. Dave Meltzer says that the Orndorff angle has roots in what is a shoot, to the extent that the Thrillers are very negative about Paul Orndorff and Sarge Dwayne Bruce because of the way they've been trained in the power plant, pushing them to borderline torture as part of their training. So the big news from this is not only do they, the story they're currently running, have some legitimate history, but also Dave this week has discovered that backstage, the Natural Born Thrillers are being called by their peers in the locker room, they're being called Gang Green.
Oh.
Which is just beautiful.
Oh. You know what? I was about to say, oh, it's based on something that happened, and I'm like, oh, really? Is this Russo in the year 2000? Wow, hey, get ready for the self-masturbatory internet stuff. And then, wait, gangrene. That's pretty good, actually.
I think they should have called them that on telly, gangrene.
Yeah, we are gangrene. Remember, do you ever see the match they had think it was, oh, which one is it? It may have passed in the time we're doing this, but there's a four-way tag match on pay-per-view with the Natural Born Thrillers as the guest referee, enforcer, whatever, and Conan as the commentator. And he absolutely rags on the Natural Born Thrillers the entire time. It's and he's there, like, instead of like being a good commentator and put them over, Conan's like, woof, these guys are just terrible. These guys are just not ready to be here. I mean, look at them, the timing's off and everything. Sorry.
Isn't it a thing? It's really a thing. It's very much a thing. What can you do?
Hey, they all went on to great success. What's the next bit of news, Tom?
Okay. Moving on to the rest of the news. Bill Goldberg got himself into a little bit of a thing backstage.
Speaking of green, go on.
Goldberg, fresh off the plane from doing some promo in the UK ahead of a WCW tour, is in a bit of a grumpy mood. And he got into an altercation before Nitro with Evan Courageous.
Oh, God, I've heard the story. Right.
So, let me run you through. Yeah, I'll run you through what happened. Now, Dave says, according to the report we received, Goldberg was having a little chat with Kevin Nash backstage. Evan Courageous comes up to shake his hand. Goldberg's hand was otherwise occupied. And Courageous said, oh, it's okay. You don't need to shake my hand. Goldberg, who had just flown in from England and was short-tempered, got mad, thinking that Courageous was dissing him, and told Courageous to leave. Courageous, thinking Goldberg was only kidding him, since he was only kidding about the handshake thing, didn't leave. Goldberg then snatched at Courageous, including supposedly ripping the necklace off him and scaring him half to death. Goldberg later on apologised, but Courageous would not accept the apology. Some of the wrestlers told Courageous to keep it quiet to protect Goldberg, although I'm sure everyone will deny any tie-in. Another planned situation where Chronic was going to mop the floor with 3 count on Thunder was changed to 3 count laying out Chronic. Of course, when Chronic got the script, as you can imagine, they complained about it being changed from what they were originally told, and so that wasn't the case. But Goldberg and Courageous in a little bit backstage. Is this how you heard it?
The ICP tell this story because they were there and they said they were chilling out with Evan Courageous, like behind the guardrail before Nitro came on the air. Goldberg showed up and Goldberg did the thing where he put his hands down his pants and had a bit of a scratch or a tug or whatever he was doing. And then saw Evan was like, oh, hey, man, like, shake my hand, Evan. And Evan was like, no, you just touch your balls. His balls went over your hands. I'm not sweating your hands. And Goldberg's like, how dare you not want to shake my hand after I've done this? And then he like slammed him on the floor. And Kevin's like, you saw that, right? You saw, you'll back me up if I go to them. And ICP like, whoa, we didn't see anything. We didn't see anything. But yeah, apparently that was the reason why it's, according to ICP, who could always be trusted for, if not a truthful story, then a funny story.
A good story, if nothing else.
There are a lot of people that just go around scratching their balls like it's nothing. They're like, oh, hey, how you doing? I'm like, ugh.
Delicious. Lawsuit mania. Two stories based on lawsuits for you, Matthew, Greg. The lawsuit filed by WWF against WCW has been settled out of court. What lawsuit is this? Well, remember when Scott Hall and Kevin Nash joined WCW in 1996? And WWF went, no, stop it, because they're acting like Diesel and Razor Ramon and their eyes and you can't. That's only just been settled out of court. There's now no outstanding legal issues between WCW and WWF. It took ages to get to this point. I'm amazed.
Isn't this, if I'm incorrect, please let me know, isn't this what had the thing where, okay, thanks for setting this out of court. One of the things to sell out of court was if WCW was up for sale, then they would get first dibs. Am I getting that wrong?
Oh, I mean, possibly, but I don't have that in my notes, so I wouldn't like to say otherwise.
No worries.
I mean, that could be. I mean, when you look at the timeline of events, like we're talking about this in September and WCW gets bought in March, possible.
Yeah.
That could be something in it. How's this for a bit of foreshadowing? The lawsuit filed by the World Wildlife Fund over the World Wrestling Federation has been getting a lot of press this week, in which the WWF, the World Wildlife Fund, is suing the World Wrestling Federation for allegedly breaching an agreement they had in 1994 about appropriate use of the WWF and the use of those initials in forms of marketing. Now, this is something that's been rolling along for a couple of weeks, but a lot of the press are just picking this up. World Wildlife Fund had an agreement with the WWF that they would only use their initials to a limited capacity, and now WWF, the World Wildlife Fund, feel that the WWF, the World Wrestling Federation, are overstepping that agreement. We will see what happens from here. What we will see in the early stages is more reference in literature to WWFE, World Wrestling Federation Entertainment. You see this at the end of some of the credit cards, the credit things at the end of each show, those little show cards in the bottom right corner. I forgot what they're called. You'll see a little bit of that, and you'll see a lot more on press statements. They refer to themselves as World Wrestling Federation Entertainment, which is a way of trying to smooth things over between them and the World Wildlife Fund. But we'll keep an eye on this over the next couple of years, I think.
Yeah, it's great. It doesn't often happen when WF has absolutely no defense. Everything that they said is like, you said you would do this, yes. You said you would put your name as the World Wrestling Federation and not just the initials WWF, yes. And you said you would only do this in America, you wouldn't do this in Europe, yes. And then they proceeded to do none of those things. They hadn't got a chance in court when the Worldwide Fund came for them. So they're like, all right, yeah, fair enough. Just complete poo-housery from WWF. The wrestling people.
Yeah, not the animal people.
Not the animal people. Not the panda people.
A few booking things to let you know about before we move into the wrestling for the week. There is talk, and I love this. So there's been a lot of conversations about Scott Levy coming in, a.k.a. Raven, looking as if he signed already, just waiting on a debut very, very soon. There is talk of linking Raven up with Kane as some kind of mentor, and the reason that he turned back heel. So there is some potential behind the scenes to have a storyline where Kane reveals that Raven has been in his ear and is guiding his career. You know what? I bloody love that. Imagine that.
Yeah, I can see that working as some sort of giant monster dude to do his bidding, and Kane not realise, and yeah. Trust me, Jake Roberts.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that sort of Jake Roberts-y vibe. If anyone can pull that off, it's going to be Raven. Will that happen? We will see. Also, one more final little bit. With any luck, he'll be out of that flat in no time. Maybe while he's up and about, he might look for the card for his skybox. As the Dynamite Kid, Tom Billington, has been apparently approached to appear at the WWF pay-per-view in September in Sheffield because it's only half an hour from his house.
Wow.
I'd love to see Dynamite Kid at a WWF show in 2000. I hope that is definitely happening.
I've not been able to watch for a while. I've not paid me Sky box office. God. It would have been so utterly, utterly sad.
So it doesn't happen. What?
No, they got the Dirt Bike Kid instead.
Yes! Give us the Dirt Bike Kid.
The Dirt Bike Kid, and there's no pop whatsoever. He goes, you know, the guy that Great Sasuke beat the hell out of. Oh, the Dirt Bike Kid!
The dirt bikes are on me. let's throw it over to Matthew Gregg. He is going to talk us through this week's episode of SmackDown on UPN.
Thank you. No dramatic recap, just witty wee, witty woo. We're in Louisville, Kentucky. But never mind all that, we have...
Louis wee, wee wee wooville.
Never mind that, Stone Cold is here tonight with a special message. Also, Rikishi versus Road Dogg. Sorry, is it? I've got Eddie versus Road Dogg as well. Why have I written that twice? That's horrible, Matthew. Triple H versus TNA. The APA versus the Dudley Boys in a barroom brawl. And those are matches being announced as the show starts. That's new.
Here's the thing. I think this is the one week where we did need a what happened on Raw, because it just, I had to stop the episode for a second and go, have I got the right one here? Because I feel like lots has happened, like too much has happened, where it's like, oh, there's a new Intercontinental Champion. Oh, there's Austin's talking. Oh, okay, all these things. Like, it just feels like a lot happened, but apparently it's all in order. We didn't miss one. They could have done with a recap for this one, I think.
You're right. Plenty of stuff gets recapped during the Raw, but, you know, I like those 20-minute bits where they do the promo and the guys come out and they reiterate the things and stuff. But it doesn't matter because right now, Michael Cole starts the show. Boo. And he says, Jerry Lawler isn't here tonight. He's got attacked by Taz on Raw. But, oh wait, here's Lawler's music right now. Here he comes. Hey, that's no king. That's Taz. He's a king, all right.
The he one looks you see like on a chessboard. King of England. Oh, sorry, mate. I talked all over your gag then.
It's all right. He's a king, all right. The one on a chessboard. There we go. And tonight marks the SmackDown debut of Taz commentating with Michael Cole. And it's funny because he still has his tough guy voice on. Ha ha, that'd change. Yeah, that's right, Cole, in Brooklyn, we do the ding and the ding. You know, later on it's just like, ha ha ha, let the pigeons loose, like a small foreign car, et cetera, et cetera. And Jericho, with a giant ass hockey shirt, takes on X-Pac, who has no hockey shirt. And Jericho has the advantage the entire match until X-Pac kicks him on the floor with those educated feet from Brooklyn U, imagine. But it doesn't matter because the match is all about Taz telling Cole that he sucks and he's surprised that WWF pay him. It's a pretty good match here because Jericho and X-Pac always had good matches. The Lion Salt gets knees. The match ends after X-Pac gets a low blow and turns a backslide into a win that was supposed to be using the ropes, but he's too far away and misses them, which Taz points out, but Cole insists he did use the ropes. So Taz is already outclassing Cole in his very first time commentating.
Bless Michael Cole. He's just trying to keep toe of the company line, but Taz is just like, no, he didn't use them. He didn't use the ropes. You idiot.
I do love, even in 2000, he's a heel because he's telling the truth.
This is the first time we see Taz as a commentator, isn't it?
It is, yes.
He's great. Now, I would say, like, I'll give like a general grade on his performance, and we'll talk about it more as we go through, but apart from having to dial it back a touch, I think he's brilliant. I think he's great. I think he's a revelation. I'm almost sad that he went out and did this because I think it was this night that ended his in-ring career for the WWF. Because they went, well, we've got this guy we can't be asked to get behind as a wrestler, but he talks really good and we could do with another commentator. So there you go. Hey, Lawler.
Yeah. Hey, Lawler. Yeah, because right now he's just doing the stuff for the Lawler feud, but he would get really good. As we'll see later on. Backstage, Kurt Angle goes to see Mick Foley, who still has his beads around his neck from a month ago, the tight get. And Kurt compliments them as they look like his own gold medals. Mick Foley no-sells his attempts at compliments because he's been reading a book about subliminal messages and he knows Kurt wants a match with Undertaker tonight. And you know what? Mick's so nice, he'll give him it. Kurt leaves and then says he lied about the beads. What a heel. Edge and Christian are here, and Edge has a purple beard. Bloody hell, were Nintendo sponsoring him like Des Lynam? Throwback to three people. You're welcome.
They're bragging about their victory.
Thank you. They're bragging about, oh, this is a tremendous segment. They're bragging about their victory on Raw against The Rock and Undertaker. Or as we like to call them, The Rockertaker. Edge and Christian talk about the history of Louisville and the crowd cheer at the mention of their area like big dummies.
Please tell me you wrote like big dummies.
Yeah. They go, Louisville. Yay! Edge waits a few seconds, just grinning ear to ear like, oh, you fools. Like Edge explains dummies. Soap was introduced in 1996. Boo. They're booing soap. Speaking of soap...
They're sad that soap was invented. We like being dirty, you bastards.
Speaking of soap, let's see that clean win over The Rock and Undertaker on Raw. in slow motion and they play it. And it's like, and the, Michael Cole's there pointing out, oh, wait a minute, where's the bit where they hit them with a chair? It was a tainted victory. And they go, crowd chants, Rocky, Rocky. And Ed says, no, this ain't about us. Oh, what the hell? Yes, it is. Let's see that pin again. And they play it from another angle. And they go, you know what? I can tell you people want this one more time. And three times they're going to play this pin over The Rock. And then The Rock actually appears and he demands Edge and Christian tonight. Edge and Christian ask if The Rock can smell that. It's us. Totally reeking of awesomeness. Rock says no. They smell of Kentucky Fried Horse bleep. I don't know why he said bleep. Very weird. Edge and Christian want the handicap match, but they want to be in the ring both at the same time. The Rock accepts. All right, then. Edge and Christian also want Rock's title on the line as well. Rock thinks about it and says no problem. And The Rock takes out the invisible crystal ball that only The Rock can see. He sees Edge. He sees Christian. They're still tag champs. It's still a little foggy. Rock shakes the ball. Ah, there it is. It's The Rock whooping both their candy asses all over Louisville. If you smell paint by numbers Rock promo, but that's a 9 out of 10 on his worst day, so who cares? Edge and Christian here, like on Monday Night Raw, scored the win in the promo department against The Rock. What do you think, Tom?
Loved it. I think there was something quite tantalizing about the idea of an Edge versus Rock showdown. I know this happened in like 98 on a random episode of Raw, but like the idea of Rock versus Edge was quite intriguing as a one-on-one thing. Obviously, we're getting it in handicap form, apparently. But yeah, a very safe promo by The Rock, but just nice to see The Rock mixing it up with Edge and Christian. Like Rock did a really good job at this point of working with as many people as he could as champion. Like while on top, he was giving the rub to loads of people, not in that way. Like Benoit and Angle, now Edge and Christian. Like there was a certain level of caliber of talent that Rock was getting in there and getting amongst it with.
Yeah. Al Snow. Oh wait, never mind. Oh wait, man, he's not Spartacus. Backstage, Steph gives Triple H a hug and tells him good luck against Test and Albert.
I don't know why the way you said that made me laugh.
Triple H replies, Steph, it's Test. It'll be easier than the opening level of Yoshi's Story. Test appears, kicking the door with his feet and has an axe and goes, that's my joke. I'll kill you.
No, Test appears at the door with an axe and says, how did you get past level one?
Level one would imply the existence of a level two, Triple H, and I have never seen it, and I've owned the game for years.
Edge is like, hey, joke's on him, Albert. I traded in Yoshi's Island for Blast Core. Albert buries his head in his hands because he is, of course, a Sega Saturn owner. Mm.
Bosco, is that the one where there's a giant object heading towards things and you have to get rid of them? No, silly, that's your head.
Or Majora's Mask.
Oh, wow, you hit me with two N64 references. Thanks, Test. And I understood zero of them. Keep on talking, you broken nose idiot.
Not this, now, I've got to go see Triple H with my axe.
Test, what, Albert? Test, you're sponsored by Yoshi's Story because you can both suck eggs. No, Test, come back. I'm sorry. No, don't go. I'm sorry, I'll let you use me rumble pack.
Hey, Albert, I'm like a dusty cartridge that won't start. You could blow me.
I can't beat that. Let's move on to the next segment. All right, Albert. Acolytes wait for the Dudleys to show up as we get explained that Kai and Tai tried to help the Acolytes on Raw against the Dudleys, which ended with Bradshaw going through a table. Well done, Naka Michinoku.
The Naka Michinoku! Poor Taka. Naka.
Naka. Rikishi is here against Benoit. Doesn't take long for Rikishi to go for the ass, but Benoit escapes to the outside and dubs Kishi into the ring steps. Benoit is clearly nuts, giving Air Canada to a Samoan's head, but he's surprised when he kicks out. Northern Lights suplex gets two. Very impressive spot from Benoit. Completely ruined because Taz insults Cole as he calls it a German. And I've written here in caps locks, tell him, Taz. Benoit tries a sunset flip, but Kishi uses the ass to pin him. But Chris somehow kicks out of the ass. With Benoit's size and Kishi's ass, it looked like the Wicked Witch of the East. Oh my God, I'm wrong on the right nut.
Here comes Chris Jericho to take his shoes off.
Yeah. Bobby Cannon tries to interfere, but it's simply a diversion for the good father, who takes a pounding. In order for Benoit to somehow German suplex Rikishi to win. Woof, typed here. Right to censor, try to censor Kishi's the ass, but Too Cool makes the save by getting beat down by Right to Censor. Yeah, cheers, mate.
I put here, they're not Too Cool anymore. They're now the Lugs Warriors. Because they just turn up in all branded Lugs gear just to get a beat in. I can't imagine that the head office of Lugs, the chairman of the board, Malcolm Lug, is going to be happy when he sees that. Like, his brand getting beaten up on national television.
Did you call the owner of Lugs the head Lug?
Yeah, Malcolm Lug.
Malcolm Lug, a.k.a. the...
The big lug. The lug hole. Malcolm Lug. That's who runs Lugs. Malcolm Lug.
Lug Buchanan to his friends.
Which does suggest that Lugs should have an apostrophe in it, but it doesn't. It should be Lug apostrophe Z. Because they are the shoes that belong to Malcolm Lug.
Oh, like Greg's.
Like
the
Greg's.
Lugs. Oh.
The Lugs. They belong to Malcolm Lug.
And all the other Lugs is when they go places, they go Lug. Like, how do you spell it? You know, like the famous shoe franchise. Oh, I see.
Oh,
you
L-U-G.
Get free shoes when you go in. Yeah, that's right. That's how it works. The birthright.
What happened so, yeah. to Lugs?
What is Lugs?
Baby, don't hurt me. Oh, no. Ding. Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
Tom, Hathaway.
Hey!
What did you think of this match? There was a lot of stuff going on.
Ah, it was fine. Benoit and Rikishi have a nice little bit of chemistry. I'm a big fan of Right to Censor still, so I enjoy their work. And I liked the Lugs attire. I'm distracted because I've just read that in 2010, Cain Velasquez became the newest endorser of Lugs.
No. All right, 2 seconds.
Immediately after signing Cain Velasquez, Velasquez fought to become the UFC World Heavyweight Champion. Lugs made Velasquez the UFC champ. I am looking now at the list of Lugs endorsers.
Lugs.
And it is a who's who of the light entertainment world.
Oh my God, I can see the... Yeah, it's the same logo. He's doing his, like, yeah, fist. And he's not actually wearing the shoes. It's a picture of him. Like, he's in the background and the shoes are just there.
So there's
like,
two...
I guess you imagine them.
There's three people that have found prominent success in the WWF and in the UFC. That would be Brock Lesnar, Ronda uh-huh. Rousey, and Malcolm Lug.
Oh, for fuck. Hook, line, and sinker, as usual.
Lug, line, and sinker.
Lug, oh, God, all right.
We're motoring now, mate. We had a slow start. We're motoring now. Just some talks about Lugs. As I said last week, if the SmackDown episodes disappear for like a UK-based Peacock service, we can't watch them for a few weeks, this podcast won't really change.
Yeah, but what about all those up-to-date references you make? You're like, yeah.
Yeah, we're always up-to-date, aren't we?
Yeah, the reference you just said, Cain Velasquez. Yeah, that was still 10 years ago.
That's gotta be Cain.
Cain Velasquez, what are you doing?
Oh, hey.
That's gotta be Lugs. Oh, it's me. Malcolm Lugs.
Oh my God, that's the tie-in. That's the celebrity tie-in. Like, welcome to the Malcolm Lug. Welcome to the Malcolm Lug Funfair Drive for charity.
Hi, I'm here. And there's Malcolm Lug going, "Who are you, damn it? Well, I'm Cain. You hired me for the dunking tank." "No, I didn't call you. I called Cain." "Yeah, that's me, Cain." "No, I think he meant me." "Cain Velasquez, what are you doing here?" What that's a mix-up.
And then Lugs goes, "No, I didn't call you either." He goes, "You didn't call me? I thought you wanted the greatest Cain." "Yes." And then Luke Gallows shows up. "May 19th. Oh, that's the spirit. Now get in that tank and get dunked into a can of Lugs.
I don't think he wanted you either."
"Michael Caine, what are you doing?"
Not a lot of people know that I'm here.
Not a lot of people know that I didn't actually say that. But everyone does it when they do crap impressions of me on boring podcasts, all right? "No, I didn't mean you either." "You what?" "No, I didn't want you either. I wanted the 1941 production of The Caine Mutiny, starring Marlon Brando. On Blu-ray. Yay! Dunk it! Dunk that Blu-ray!"
"I didn't want you either."
There's a silence because Blu-rays can't talk, even we have a limit. "Who did you want then?" says someone off camera. Go on. What have you got, Tom? Go and drop it.
"Oh, I'm sorry I'm late. I've just arrived from Nosgoth." "What? Legacy of Cain? What are you doing here?" "I've been reaving souls."
That's fascinating, but I didn't want you either. Bloody hell, how long can you drag this segment out, Matthew and Tom? You'll see. Are you ready? But who else could be named Cain? "Oh, sorry I'm late, lads. I was just busy murdering my brother." "The original Cain, that's right. The brother lover from another mother." "Look, get in the tank and shut up."
"I didn't want you either."
Oh. All the other Cains just fall on their heads like in an anime. What? Who?
"Oh, sorry I'm late. My bus from Central Country was late. Cain from Promise of Wizard. What are you doing here? Are you an obscure anime that Tom just looked up?"
I was going to say, like,
yes,
everyone's just
I
like,
am.
I've not even heard that reference. I thought you said Yorkshire and Cain and everyone went, "Oh, Cain Dingle, of course." The Vince McMahon of the Dingles.
I didn't want you either. "I'm sorry I'm late. I'm listening. Fraser Crane."
Oh.
"Yes, what I haven't explained is I spelt it wrong on the email. I actually wanted Fraser Crane." That's gotta be Crane. "I already have a sitcom. Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambled legs."
God. "I'm Zach Dingle, and I'm in a rage. I want the tits, and I want them into cage." Moving on. "On Monday Night Raw, it was a triple threat match between Tom, Matthew, and Sanity."
"I don't want you either."
2 hours in the podcast, and we've had one match.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
On Raw, it was a triple threat match with Swollen Brain, Angle, China, and Eddie for China's IC title. Angle bonks China with the title and suplexes Angle. What? Eddie out? No, that's not right. Angle bonks China with the title and Eddie suplexes Angle of the ring. That's better, Matthew.
Mm-hmm.
And goes to check on China. And as he's checking on her, accidentally covers her to win the title.
Oh, no.
Backstage, Eddie apologizes to China and says she means more than the title, and China believes him and hugs him. With the camera zooming in on Eddie's grin. I love this.
This was great. And the segment that comes next is uncomfortable. Uncomfortable.
It certainly is, Tom.
Beautifully done.
But before then, Taz... After the show, that bit, Taz says she would be wearing a belt in the kitchen anyway. Ninth wonder of the world,
oh,
my butt.
My God. Taz, she would batter you, mate. Sit down.
Oh, you stood up. Sorry. And earlier today, it turns out China saw that footage that we just saw. Wow. Makes her one of the smartest people in the history of wrestling. Eddie doesn't know what China is talking about. That smile was because I was happy to see you. China is very upset and tells Eddie he broke her heart. Eddie says he's turned down friends and family for her, so no, Eddie doesn't need this belt and throws away the IC title. I don't need no stinking IC title. He doesn't say that. He says, you were on Jay Leno and there was no mention of Eddie. You were on Third Rock from the Sun and there was no mention of Eddie. He goes, just turn around as a completely different character. He goes, my friend Eddie Guerrero would look like that. Everyone's like, what?
Oh, I could think of a sitcom she could be in where we could get that sort of line in.
I don't.
2.4 children.
Oh, that'll be it, wouldn't it? Hi, we're aliens from trying to beat humans in America. Or oh, what if the plot for the third one? My friend Eddie is an alien. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait. What's this, the no. 50s? What did you say? Good one from... I don't remember the third one.
I'm the guy from Jurassic Park and I'm dating a lovely woman. Oh, I get to do my impression of Third Rock from the Sun.
Who's the guy from Jurassic Park who's in... Oh, Newman.
Yeah, Newman's in it.
Oh, it's not his name.
But it's all about John Lithgow, who basically, yeah. All the stuff he says in it is, I can't believe that we're all aliens. That's basically Third Rock from the Sun.
I think I saw that kid and
I
had no idea what was
we're all aliens.
Is his name Dickhead? They played that in the advert, and that's all I got from the show.
Possibly. There's the guy who's always, his face is always puckered, and he's like, I don't understand things. And I can't believe that we're all aliens.
Sounds good.
I can't believe that this is a crossover.
I can't believe they got 10 minutes doing a bloody Kane bit on this podcast. Eddie then gets angry and screamy and throws stuff around, and it goes from being, haha, Eddie's selfish and silly and a bit egotistical and trying to lie to China, to pretty awkward and uncomfortable. I prefer grimy Eddie, not violent to crying China Eddie. And then he leaves and China's like, I'm sorry, Eddie. Act. And it's like, all right. We can have less of these every week. That'd be fantastic. After Steph and Triple H's wonderful getting arrested for spousal abuse thing last week. You know, WF, for kids.
We're winding it in for the kids.
We're violent to our spouses for kids. We did it for the people.
For the kids.
For the kids. Duds show up to the... Where are they at? The bar.
They're at the cinematic wrestling match.
Yeah, the cinematic wrestling match. That's right. Because The Fiend and Randy Orton didn't show up to theirs this Sunday. The Duds show up at the table, and here we go. It's the brawl with easily breakable stools and bottles. And it's over very quickly, and the APA are like, yeah, drinks are on the house, guys, woo. And all the fake patrons are like, yeah, you guys are so likable outside the ring. Whatever.
You're my favourite customer.
Yeah. Nice doggy. Drink some Jack.
There was a moment at the start of this where Bubba walks in with the table, and there's a bloke sat at the bar, and what presumably is his partner or his date is sat next to him. This guy pushes the bloke over. Bubba pushes this guy over. And I don't know whether it was planned or not. I know obviously they said, oh, you stand there and Bubba's going to push you over. But Bubba pushed this guy with such force, he went crashing into the woman behind him and they both fell off their stools. I hope she was all right because we never saw them again. It was a hell of a bump she took. I can't imagine that bit had been planned.
Yeah. That's why they're so likable. Going around, pushing people off the stools, being dicks, smashing the place up. Then be like, hey, drinks, guys. Boring bastards. We cut to Taz and Cole, but Lola appears in the crowd to choke Taz with a leather strap as the crowd goes nuts. Jerry Lawler takes his place on commentary as the home audience gets mad. Boo, boo, we want Taz, they yell at the TV. But no one could hear them.
Boo. I like this bit with Jerry Lawler. Lawler's been great in this feud with Taz. Like, it's revitalised him.
Yes,
I am sad that it means that Taz is now off commentary because he's played a blinder all night. What was your favourite moment of the Taz commentary?
Pretty much every time he went, why did they pay you, Cole? But you're right, though. Lawler looks great here, being revitalised. That's fantastic. I thought the entire point was for Lawler, the part-time commentator, to put over Taz. I think we've got a bit lost here. They go, wow, Lola looks great. Let's push him. And Taz is like, no, you bastards.
That's right, Taz. You can be a commentator. No, that wasn't the point of this.
Yeah, well, Jim Ross got his revenge on you. People like him. He's getting a push now. He's challenging for the IC title next week because of you. Michael Cole's got that hot European title feud going on now because of you. Taz, you're doing so good.
Taz is just great at putting people over.
Taz, can you stand up when you're talking to me? Oh, God, sorry. Sorry, mate. Sorry.
It's tires.
On Raw, Test says, payback and your wife have one thing in common.
They're coming soon.
I've got neither of them. me and Tom trying to both run for the same point right now. Sorry, what were you going to say, Tom?
No, yours is better, mate. I've got neither.
Payback, your wife, and level 3 of Doom 64 got one thing in common. Neither are happening to me. So it's Test and Albert versus Triple H in a handicap match. What's the handicap? The answer is Test. Test destroys...
Albert is lumbered with Test.
Yes. Literally chained to Test.
This is my punishment. The reward is after 10 years of service, I'll become a trainer in a developmental camp.
Yeah. Remove the
shackles.
The shackles of Test. Woohoo! And attach the shackles of NXT. Oh.
Put Test back on.
Yeah. Triple H destroys Test, and I put in brackets here, shocker. But Albert comes in and takes apart one half of Team NXT. Oh, yeah, we just said that joke. Triple H works from underneath the whole match, and I guess we're supposed to be cheering him. Question mark, question mark, question mark. Huh. Trish gets a bigger pop for interfering than for anything Triple H does in his handicap match. So Test grabs Steph and threatens to powerbomb her. So Kurt Angle makes the save. He rubs stunners Albert right into a Triple H pedigree. Well done, Kurt. No, really. Are we supposed to be cheering Triple H here? I don't know. Let's ask Tom. Hey, Tom, you're here.
Well, they are starting to turn Triple H into a babyface.
Into what? Oh.
Into a face. Because
with a set of keys.
Because of reasons.
All right.
I'm not entirely sure why. But there is, because we've got this angle, Triple H thing still bubbling over, and there's just this random belief within the office that a babyface Triple H will get over. And that's kind of where we're going. And it's weird because it doesn't quite line up yet the way it's supposed to with Triple H as a fully fledged face. It's a weird one.
It is. It is. But it's all building to that hot conclusion at Unforgiven. Sponsored by RC Edge Maximum Power Cooler. It's not just Unforgiven. It's super Unforgiven.
It's WrestleMania Unforgiven.
Oh, no.
Because that's the thing they do now.
Unforgiven Backlash. God. China and Dog are talking backstage, and Crazy Angry Eddie sees it and wants to know if China will be in his corner or Road Dog's corner. Dun, dun, dun. Backstage, in a different part of the backstage, Triple H doesn't want Kurt's help with anything. He had that match in control.
Jesus Christ, Kurt. On my own.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, Kurt, it was test. How can I go backstage and look confident when you're defeating a test match? Bloody hell. Kurt's like, oh, you know what, mate? I didn't think about that. Sorry. Yeah. And they shake hands and they never feud again.
They're united over their awareness of test.
You know, last month I was feuding with The Rock and now I need your help to beat test. Because, you know what, I don't hate you that much, Triple H. I would never do that to you. Anyway, Steph says, what about when Test was going to powerbomb me? How were you in control of the match then? And Triple H just goes, don't go there.
Well, she did. That response. Yeah.
Triple H, the baby face.
Check out my melody.
Road Dogg is here to talk about Latino Heat, reminding Eddie that China is mi familia. So come on out and let's get locos. Yes, that's all the Spanish I know as well, Road Dogg. Competitive match ends with China grabbing Road Dogg's leg and then reversing Dogg's small package so Eddie can win. She's clearly conflicted at ringside because Road Dogg is her long-term friend, but she just loves Eddie.
I don't think she's that conflicted. Like, she just seemed quite resigned to the fact that she was there to support Eddie.
Oh, okay, well, nothing, you know, else. She's such a good actor, maybe, you know, go back and...
She looked blank, and I thought that was the point. But maybe, now I think about it, that might not have been the plan.
No, but in, like, the fourth scene she's in on Third Rock from the Sun, she does that same face when she's conflicted, if she should call the guy Newman because he was in Seinfeld, or the guy in Jurassic Park who gets the stuff confident in.
To which John Lithgow went, I can't believe that we're all aliens, and you look conflicted.
And the guy who plays Newman in Seinfeld is like, Jesus Christ, I've been acting for 30 years. Why are you still calling me Newman from Seinfeld?
Hey, everybody, I'm still called Newman in Seinfeld. See, nobody cares.
Yeah. Yes. Ah. Didn't say the magic word, which is Newman from Seinfeld.
Which is lugs.
Yeah. Anyway, China apologises to Dog afterwards, and Eddie attacks Dog, so China has to stop him. Eddie agrees and then leaves. But then, turns around and hits Road Dogg the title anyway. He then pushes China down to carry on attacking Dog, and China still leaves with her. What a truly miserable turn of events.
It really is, isn't it?
Yes.
As long as it leads to China beating the shite out of him, which is what I'm hoping we lead to.
Yeah, otherwise it's just like, okay...
Yeah, otherwise it's just an uncomfortable storyline.
Yeah. Like, grimy Eddie being like, I didn't mean to accidentally pin you for the title. That's fantastic. Like, trying to show a semi-realistic soap opera depiction of spousal abuse and people being in relationships they shouldn't be in is like, I don't want to watch this.
Sort of aggressive, gaslighty Eddie is quite awkward. As long as China ends up beating him up, that's fine.
We're hoping for that.
If only a friend of China's is close to returning to help her out with a new gimmick and some new music.
That's right, X-Pac. Look at all that I've smoked.
Not to make a blind man pee.
God... God took all the drugs from you and gave them all to me.
On occasion, my reflection makes me think there's someone else in the room, because I've got it all.
Oh, I've smoked them all. Yeah.
I smoked them all. Hey, I can't wait for us to talk about that music and talk about the return in general.
One of the most underrated WWF themes, I gotta tell you.
It truly is. It truly
I mean, I know he had big tights to fill after doing Mr. Ass, but I'm a fan of the one theme.
Can we keep Mr. Ass, but without any references to ass? That's the reference that Jim Johnston had. That's the memo he had on his desk one morning. Okay. We don't want to add anything to the character. We just want to take away the bits about him having an arse. Don't add, subtract.
Yeah. As opposed to the original thing where they went to Mr. Ass theme and says, you know Goldfinger? He says, yes. Yeah, that, but instead of gold, it's ass. All right. He loves only ass. He loves only ass.
Ass finger. Ugh.
He's the man.
But
the
don't man let him the... in.
Oh. We've got some time to kill, so here's Too Cool losing again to PTC.
Hey, key bit at the front of this.
I was going to say, yeah, here we go. We get a clip of Val Venus getting kidnapped, and we haven't seen him since. How can we possibly keep SmackDown going without this?
I figure if we'd as that was happening, Val Venus is shown getting smuggled into a white van and driven away. I can't help but feel that if the camera panned to the right, there'd have been like a Willy Wonka-esque character going, oh no, wait, stop, come back. Please don't kidnap him. Please stop.
Oh no, did you see that? See what? A popular WWF wrestler just got kidnapped. Albert's not been kidnapped, has he? No.
Another
the
one.
The other guy. No, not him. Test? No. The other. He was really big last year, and now he's not. Taz? No.
Taz has never been big.
Yeah, he's never been big. You know, just in his brain.
4 hours later, and they're like, "Look, he's in the company.
Oh, yeah,
he's been there for ages." Kerwin Silfies? No, not Kerwin Silfies.
Just Joe? No, not just Joe.
Mike in accounting? No, it's not Mike in accounting.
BB? No. I remembered BB, believe me.
Well, I've named everybody. I can't think of a single person.
You know, it's been 4 hours. He's probably dead. Let's go get some RC Maximum Power Cola and some lugs and forget about it. Hey, there's a bar nearby where the Dudleys just show up and be dicks. That sounds nice. Let's go there. So they're going full on into the brainwashing aspect of the RTC. Cole welcomes Russian viewers as SmackDown is now broadcast there. I'm sure they're cheering for the censorship, guys. Oof. That was a good line. I might be that one.
Could they ever introduce a character at this point for the Russian audience? I guess RTC. But is there a character they could have introduced at this point? I'm trying to think if there's anybody in the wings at this point from that sort of neck of the woods. Because we're about 6 years off from Vladimir Kozlov at this point.
Mm. Nikolai Volkov, I mean, he's only he's a sprightly 68 at this point, so...
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, let's see. Oh, him. That's not me doing an impression of the Soviet Union national. That's his impression. He sung it every week, and he never sung it properly. Anyway, I was wrong about this match. I thought it'd be a quick thing, but no, this is a really hot match with a sweet finish because the crowd love Too Cool, even if they are losers. As Too Cool land the hip hop drop, Bull Buchanan lands the scissors kick on Brian, but the referee gets distracted by the good father, so Rikishi gets revenge for earlier by leg dropping Bull for Too Cool to get a tag win. Good God, mark it on your calendars. It happened.
Hooray. And it's over, it's over our boys RTC, who seem to be taking quite a few losses at the moment, don't they?
They'll get used to it. APA and the Duds are shown drinking together after bleeding together. Ah, they're just good old-fashioned fighting men. Oh, here's Kai and Tai. The tiny Japanese men who can't handle their drink appear and get smashed by the Yanks.
USA.
Yay.
USA. America. We are men. And other platitudes.
Hey, can we drink too? We did pay you last week to do something for us. I mean, do we have any...
No! Bugger off!
No! Pearl Harbor! Drink! It's like, what the hell?
The only thing we drink is freedom and beer. Mainly beer.
Yeah, everyone knows Japanese wrestlers can't handle their drink. No, no, that's a misconception. We love drinking because drugs are incredibly frowned upon in Japanese society. You know this, JBL. You did a tour with WAR in 95 where you were Death Mask. USA! Drink, drink, drink!
You bon don't fight, even fight, go fight, here!
Kane? Well, where's this coming from?
Hello, I go here. Just popping by, I had to pick up some stuff for Linda.
Oh, hello, Kane.
Oh, hey, we're having some drinks. I'll have a stout.
I don't know where I'm going with it.
The music just stops. Stout!
Oh, okay, I'll have a... Oh, can I have one of these drinks here? That looks nice. A Dr. Oort. What? A Dr. Oort. That looks nice. I'll have one of those. Where are you looking? There! A Dr. Oort. A draft. Yes! Dr. Oort! It's a good joke, that. Yeah, it works when it's written down. Sharp!
Yeah.
USA! OOSHA! OOSHA!
There's a draft. Oh, I thought it was cold.
Give us one of them guinoirs.
Kane, I've told you before, real men drink real drinks, like Bud Light.
Maybe you'd like a shot, like a fireball. No! Not that again! I don't like fireballs.
Yeah.
What did you think I meant?
SmackDown, your vote. And something about, we've issued a challenge to George W. Bush and Al Gore to talk on SmackDown and have Jesse Ventura... What the hell was this?
Oh, this is just one of these things that WWF did to try and... they wanted... thing is, it doesn't matter the fact they don't accept. It's just the fact that WWF want to be seen to be doing it. So they laid out the challenge to Al Gore and George W. Bush. They sent memos to their offices and everything. You'd be surprised to know this doesn't quite pan out the way they're hoping, but they just want to be seen to be doing it, because even Bush and Gore not turning up is a win for them, because they can go, they were too scared to come and see you. They're hoping, are the WWF, that one will call the other's bluff, because WWF have banged on for ages about this massive fan base that they've got that wants to vote for you. And they're hoping that George Bush might turn up and Al Gore won't. So therefore all the WWF people go, yay, vote for George Bush. Because apparently, like, wrestling fans are like the kids that followed the Pied Piper into the mountain. And apparently there's this hope that if one turns up, they'll get all the votes. And what happened is neither turned up. Ever. Because they were never going to.
We've issued a challenge to the chick from Survivor and the other chick from Survivor. If they show up, Jesse Ventura will moderate. Like, okay. It's weird because they are genuinely mainstream popular still at this period. But them still doing this, like, thing is completely above even what they're achieving right now.
Mm-hmm.
The presidential candidates for the country of America to come onto SmackDown... Wait, maybe they'll show up on the XFL debut show, but, you know, they're going to show up to this. Anyway, no one cares. Undertaker versus Angle is next, as the crowd loves Undy. Angle bounces for him as Undertaker calls for old school and does the rope walk, which I think is the first time I've seen that on SmackDown.
I was trying to think whether it was. I think, obviously, it's a movie he's had forever, but whether or not it's called, the references the old school. Yeah. Quite possibly.
like a like watching an anime in the 90s, you have to yell out the name as they're doing it. Old school! But yeah. Benoit interferes with the DQ, so Triple H evens the odds, and the crowd is wild as Undertaker gives Benoit a last ride. Yeah, Benoit and Undertaker did pretty well here whenever they were in the ring together.
Yeah, I think they had a nice little bit of chemistry. We'll see this again at Unforgiven, hopefully.
Yeah. Steph is mad with Triple H attacking Kurt because Kurt helped her. Triple H doesn't give a damn because he'll do what he wants because he's a He-Man woman-hater club member. Steph is still mad.
Steph will always be mad.
Steph is mad at babyface Triple H, the sexiest man in all of WWF. But don't let any of that distract you from the main event, which is Steve Austin calls from his home. Like he's Great Khali for the Hall of Fame. And would you believe it? Not only Steve Austin gracing us with his presence on SmackDown, kinda, but also that deer on the wall is there as well.
That's the ultimate comeback for me. The deer on the wall of Steve Austin's house. The one that may or may not be running things secretly.
And Steve Austin graces us with his presence dressed as trees.
I couldn't see him. Yeah, I couldn't see his head. Just a head floating. I love camo gear in the living room.
Yeah. No wonder they didn't see him coming. Look at that flying head.
Oh shit, it's a flying head. Leg it, lads.
Lads, what does this mean? Bang. Oh, right.
Oh, that again. We keep falling for it. It's a floating it's a floating head with a gun. It's one of two things. Yeah. It's Steve Austin or Rayman.
This means tonic trouble for you.
Hey! God, what an underrated game.
What? Test is somewhere sobbing going, I can't believe you're taking my one thing.
This is the only thing I had. You're now doing more Valvinus jokes than Test jokes.
Am I a joke to you?
Yes, you always were.
Yeah, exactly where you are.
We've moved on. But I like with this bit how Steve Austin starts facing the wrong way. Because he's done it for effect. So when he turns around, everyone goes, "Him again!" But it just looks like that he's facing the wrong way. Like he thinks the camera's behind him.
I don't think it was that. I think it reminded me of every FMV game sequence in the 90s. Like, they all had to do that. Raiden, the Thunder God, here you are in my domain. We couldn't think of what to do here, so we turned. Ooh, it's me. Austin announces he's coming for the guy who ran him over. And if they don't admit who did it, he'll go through the entire roster. And he hopes God has mercy in his soul because Austin ain't got any. Crowd, yeah! Austin's gonna kill somebody! Yay!
Yeah. Austin's gonna shut down all the pushes of talent that we've had in his absence.
Back, he shows up because
back
well,
down
be
you
affected.
Go! I'll be dandy as hell!
I got used to it, thanks to Big Show. Fat bastard. Like Kane now, Kane no longer talks like a monster in our oppression. He talks like a useless dad.
A bad dad.
I had 2.4 push.
Where are the kids? In the oven. Oh, not again, Kane. Why'd you keep leaving them there? Why would he put the kids in the oven? I took the lasagna into bed and put the kids in the oven.
Now, Kane, I've told you before, I don't mind lasagna in bed. But kids in the oven's a bad thing. Right, let me write that down, Linda.
Lasagna bed, bad. Kids oven, bad. Oh, hang on.
Less bad. Does that mean... Oh, I better do it again.
Less bad.
I was like, you go through your little file of facts of crazy sitcom scenarios and you came up with kids in the oven. I remember that happened in an episode of Dad's Army.
For the lasagna in the bed and kids in the oven.
No, Kane, I told you. Military defence is fine. The Home Guard. Invading Poland, bad. Oh, Linda. That was all afternoon's work. It's going to be really awkward when I go and say sorry about that.
I've used up all our nice paper.
How about you go and apologise to Poland and I eat the lasagna?
I'll just get it out of the oven. Oh, no!
Oh, this is horrible.
Oh. Looks nothing like lasagna.
It tastes like children. It tastes like our children.
This is getting dark, even by the standards of Colonel XB. Colonel XB got to this point, the podcast was like, oh, I can't edit this, really, can I?
XB's like, oh, week off for me.
Let me just click the cross in the corner. Would you like to save your project? And he selects no.
Nope.
God, no. The third option.
And then he gets into bed where there's a lasagna under his pillow.
How did they know? Watch out. The lasagna fairy will come and give you a quid for your... God.
Which wrestler is going to play the lasagna fairy?
Any member of Gang Green.
Okay. Congratulations, Chuck Palumbo. You are the lasagna fairy. Hey, kid. Oh. Come to take that lasagna. Now, how does the lasagna fairy... Transport the lasagna? Does the lasagna fairy take it in the Pyrex dish that it's cooked in and then bring it back later? Or pour the lasagna into a carrier bag and leave the Pyrex dish where they found it?
Putting a lasagna into a carrier... Tom, you can tell it's been a long week for you. Does a lasagna fairy, in brackets, played by Chuck Palumbo of Gang Green, does he scrape the lasagna out in his Tesco carrier bag before he flies off? Or does he make Sean Stasiak do that first, and then does he... No, Sean Stasiak cleans the bowl. Mark, above average, opens the window.
Hey!
And Sean O'Hare does the swan, the Sean Torn bomb.
Into the lasagna.
Wee!
Colonel XB, make it.
Colonel XB has just deleted his Twitter account. Thanks,
John, make it. A 5p piece for whoever makes that.
A shiny copper coin.
The creation of the lasagna fairy.
Backstage, The Rock attacks Edge and Christian by bagging them off the RC Maximum Power Cola machine as Edge yells, yeah, sodas rule.
That's great, that is.
You know the thing better than that is they get ready for the match, but Edge is out because he's not maximum enough. So Christian has a new partner. You'll never believe who it is.
Oh my God. Who is it? Math, tell us.
That's gonna be Kane.
Yay!
No, it actually is Kane. Just in case people thought we were talking crap.
Oh, I'm here and I've brought my Bible and I've brought some communion wine. Well, what'd you bring that for? Well, I was told I was hanging out with a Christian. No, Christian's the wrestler, Kane. Did I tell you about the lasagna fairy? I've lost a carrier bag, but they've left the Pyrex dish. What's that got to do with our match? We need to talk strategy, you goof. Yes? Have you got any lasagna?
You know, me and you, Christian, have a lot in common.
Oh, how's that? Well,
you are a Christian, and Cain is in the Bible, and we both eat lasagna out of our beds. I think our tag title reign will be beautiful.
Am I the new Edge? That awesome knee rings.
Can I be Edge?
On this day. What was that mean? It's your theme song, but later.
No, you could be Edge on this day if you want, yeah.
No. That's Edge's theme song.
It's theme song in the time to come. What, like, uh-huh.
Christian
that next
looking
week.
Around nervously. Like, oh, no.
Hey, close your eyes. Why would I close my eyes? It's your theme song in TNA. What's a TNA? It's Tested Albert. I joined Tested Albert. No, not that TNA. The wrestling company. Tested Albert's not a wrestling company. No, oh, well,
One of them's in it, but he's called the Punisher. For just for a bit.
Yeah. Isn't that quite litigious because of the comic character? Yeah, it was actually, now you say that.
It was, but thankfully no one watched TNA, so it was all right. They got away with it. But you're in that. Why would I want to go to that? Well, you just do. And you fight Jeff Jarrett. I could do that here. No, you can't, because, you know. Does Edge come with me? No, he stays here. And he carries a briefcase around. What, like IRS? Yeah, I think like IRS. I think he becomes IRS.
Yeah.
I didn't pay Edge, that much attention.
And then Edge becomes IRS. That's how it worked.
I just seem to remember that he was IRS and one day John Cena got a load of jam on his face and then he became IRS, I think.
Uh-huh. So if you become Edge and Edge becomes IRS, who do I become? Ugly.
You can be Billy Gunn if you want.
Yeah. He's not.
I've just made it complicated. Because then who could Billy Gunn be when he gets back? I've made a mess of this. I should start again. Right, so
I'll get a pen.
Get a pen. I'll be Edge. Christian, you can be Billy Gunn. Yeah. Billy Gunn.
Who's on first?
Who's on? Who's on fire? That's a good joke, that.
That'll be me. Very funny.
Always on fire, lols.
Flame.
Taz can be short. Chuck Palumbo's a lasagna fairy. Ah, Billy Gunn could be Chuck Palumbo. We solved the mystery. Good night. Play the theme song.
Christian's there going to Rock. Look, just pin us. Just pin us. I need to get out of there as soon as possible.
He is not well.
Kane and I lights the Rock because he's Kane, as Christian watches, probably dumbfounded as to what to do after that segment. The Rock has to bop Kane with the ring bell, and just as he's recovered, Christian gets him on the outside and rolls him up. Kane cuts off the people's elbow for the choke slam. Very beautiful spot here. 1, 2. Christian breaks it up. The Fiend. Reverse DDT on the Rock, and Kane breaks that up, robbing us of Christian as champion in 2000. Kane attacks Christian. Edge saves his brother from attack by Kane, and Christian tries to use the belt on Rock, but he forgets the lessons learned by El Snow and realizes that doesn't work on the Rock for mid-carders. So Rock counters to retain his title, but not win the tag titles because the champs weren't in it, which angers Kane into chokeslamming the Rock through the announce table and keeping Kane in the title picture, no thanks to Big Show, fat bastard. What do you think the main event, Tom?
Solid. I thought nice to see Christian getting in there with the Rock. I thought it was fine. Yeah, good to see Kane getting amongst it, giving Rock something to do. Rock's heading towards Unforgiven, where he'll face. I'm trying to remember what his match is for. Oh, it's a four-way, isn't it? It hasn't been booked yet, I think.
Yes, because he still don't have a number one contender. I think maybe the Ben Martin's take a thing was for that, but they didn't really go into it more. But the thing is, there's no number one contender. There's just a bunch of doylums looking for something to do. And you know what? That's always a good way to have a four-way match at a lesser pay-per-view, like Unforgiven. So I rather like this episode of SmackDown. What was something that you remembered, Tom?
Now, from this episode, I remembered the awkwardness of the Eddie and China stuff. Like how aggressive that was all of a sudden, and the dark corner that story took. But I remember as a young man watching this thinking, I'm waiting for China to beat Eddie Guerrero up. And that was kind of how I was invested in it, which I hope was where they were going. What did you remember, sir?
See, I'll do that bit for the bit I forgot. I forgot this all this happened.
Oh.
Eddie's a bastard stuff and he's awkward. It's like, I don't really want to watch this. I don't remember that. So that was a shocker for me. What was something I remembered from this episode? I remember Edge and Christian replaying that segment over and over again. And I thought that was hilarious the first time I saw it. And just as funny, the most recent time I saw it. So what was something that you forgot, Tom?
I forgot that Taz was on commentary. Obviously, I knew he was on commentary in general.
Yeah, that's a good
one. But I forgot that this was his debut. And I forgot how bloody good he was. Like, what a revelation he was doing the comms here. So, as I said earlier, so good that he probably talked himself out of a longer wrestling career in the WWF. And they went, put him on commentary, play to his strengths. He's a great talker. He gets stuff over. He's funny to listen to. Stick him on there. You'd be a bit gutted if you came in wanting to wrestle and beat up the world, but you're just so good as a commentator, they're going to sit you behind the desk.
Do you think so? He was too... He worked himself into a shoot, as they like to say.
I don't think he's a bad wrestler. I think he gets
a
lot of stick.
No, I don't think he is either, but it's just... Again, if you saw Taz in ECW and see him here, it's like watching Marco Cocop go from Pride to UFC. He's so great, he's so great. Lose, lose, lose. Oh, okay, well, he was.
That's true. That's it. It's that
Sorry,
same
it's
thing.
Like saying, it's like playing Yoshi, Super Mario World 2 and then playing Yoshi's
ah,
Story.
I get that.
There we go.
I get that. That's fine. Now, I hear you on that. I hear you on that. I really do. Next week, what's happening next week on SmackDown? We're getting closer to Unforgiven. Yeah. Next week, am I right? I'm going to have a little quick look, because I'm going to double check, because I'm sure that we get more Rock, Edge and Christian-based shenanigans on SmackDown next week.
Yeah, they have
week,
been going at it for a while.
I know they're in the mix for it. I know we get a stare down between The Rock and The Undertaker next week. And the main event... Ah, right. So next week, the main event. Actually, Edge and Christian don't do anything with them. I thought they did. The main event, The Rock and The Undertaker are forced to team up against a popular tag team. And we discover the fate of Val Venus.
Mm-hmm. Also, Test will be there to keep this podcast alive.
And until that time, he is at Matthew Gregg on Twitter. I'm at Tom Campbell on Twitter. Together, we are at Cultaholic on Twitter. Don't forget to join us. That's not the cane I meant. What? Kane Dingle, what are you doing here? You should be on Emmerdale. Love you, bye. And scene.
And what a scene it was.
What
bloody
a
hell.
Scene it was, mate. That was a lovely episode. Thank you for your time today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.